Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We have our esteemed colleague here in Rusty Menzel, who needs no real introduction, right?
Well, no, I like all the places he works for.
I like the music that just came in because I'm going to give you some hot behind the scenes. I actually saw Too Short play concert in Rome, Georgia one time.
Too Short. Really?
Yeah. And he is short in person.
You needed to show your ID that you were 17 or older to get that concert.
I think I was 18 or 19. But I needed to go to church right after it was over with. But I enjoyed it, man. It was great.
I was about to say... I was about to look at Dylan and say, Dylan, Rusty needs to, every morning on Thursdays when he gets in, needs to walk in there and say, this is a song I want to rejoin with, because...
It's nothing from Don't Fight the Feeble album, I can assure you of that. That Too Short cassette probably put a lot of people into youth groups. Oh. Or needed to. But I wore it out, man. I wore it out. No doubt.
Might have taken him out of youth groups.
I won't comment.
I don't want to hijack a Too Short segment, but I enjoyed
about,
it. I enjoyed
SEC
it.
Football, so
got
I
got four
comment,
daughters.
So,
thanks,
yeah,
Too Short.
I agree, though.
All I know is how to just move on to the next topic.
Let's go.
Which is the college football playoff rankings are out, and a discussion we were having here on the show, and I've seen it on TV and everything, is about a three-loss team and the possibility of a three-loss team making it into the postseason. And so we are discussing today with Georgia facing Ole Miss, LSU, Alabama.
Yep.
You know, do you view these as elimination games, or do you think a three-loss team
I hate to give Bo credit just as soon as I walk in the door. Loosen your hat up a little bit?
We don't do that here.
I know. I thought, man, if I do that, Mike and Tiffany are going, I might get lose my segment every week.
I'm leaving.
Here's what I'll say.
Tell the truth.
I do think if, just say, example, that Georgia gets beat the next 2 weeks, 35-34, and Tennessee beats them 37-34. They lose two close games.
All right.
I think Georgia, because if Texas wins out, and if Clemson, even though they're not the ACC champion, they went out, you got two quality wins there. I didn't really think about Texas A&M and the scenario that he gave. In that scenario, I think Texas A&M's got a lot of, you know, a lot of leg to stand on. I don't really know how this is going to play out. I didn't want to play. Georgia is – I felt like Georgia had five, quote-unquote, make-or-break games to me, and I felt like at the first of the year, Georgia fans did not want to hear it. College football fans don't want to hear it. I felt like if Georgia went 3-2 in those games, they're going to be in.
Yeah, so I agree with that.
If they go 2-3 in those five games, it's going to depend on what Texas does, because that's a quality, quality win. And Clemson may end up being a little bit better if they run the table.
Will you meet me in the middle, though, and at least saying that if it is a three-loss team from the SEC that's going to be in, the third loss needs to be in the SEC title game?
Probably.
That's kind of where I'm angling. Yeah. And I thought you're right. Bro brought up a good point about if A&M were to lose in the SEC title game. I think that there is a lot of credence to that. But
yep.
I don't see a three-loss regular season, a 9-3 regular season going to the playoffs.
Yes. Did you see the strength of schedule on the rankings or not? Georgia's ranked number one.
Yeah.
And it's not.
And they should be.
It's not. But I'm saying if they start talking about if Georgia has three regular season losses and two of those on the road. What if they, you know, who knows?
And to be clear, I don't think anybody's saying that Georgia's going to be the three losses.
No. I agree.
Ole Miss has got two. LSU's got two. Yep. A&M's got two. Bama's got two. Missouri's got two. It starts getting muddy in the middle.
Here's what they wanted you to do with a 12-team playoff. They wanted you to talk about it.
And yeah.
What are we doing?
They're winning.
We're talking about it. There's a ton of football left. I told one of my buddies this week, I said, man, Georgia's got to win one of these next two. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, if Georgia wins one of these next two, they're in the playoffs. He goes, nobody's talking about winning one of the next. The college football mind,
yeah,
it hasn't transitioned yet.
I agree.
They will in December.
I agree.
They will in December.
I mentioned it the other day. I think this is the most pivotal game of Jalen Milroe's career. I agree with it.
Oh, and this could be Lane Kiffin's.
The good thing about it is that all the games still matter, though.
Oh, yeah.
Our fear as college football fans, mine anyway,
for a lot
was
of fan bases,
too big of a playoff, regular season doesn't matter. But what's happened is the expansion of these conferences, that all these games, that there's so many good teams in there that you can afford. It is adapting a pro-type mentality, but it's still keeping enough college football to differentiate the sport. That's why I don't want, and I'm sure that eventually money will lead it to 16, but I don't want to get there. But I think the 12, if we're going to have more than four, might be good enough.
Well, the biggest difference is you go 11-6 NFL, you're in a good spot.
You're in great shape.
You go 11-6 in college football, and you're talking about spring game.
there's still
a lot of difference there. There's just the thought process of having wiggle room to look and go, reality, Georgia needs to win one of these next two to give themselves a chance.
You
want to win every one. That's not a change, but there is a – you lose one of these two last year, and you're not making the SEC championship, and you're probably not going to make. Yeah. You're not going to make. You know that you're out.
I do want to bring up obviously this weekend's game, and I don't want to ask a question like what's wrong with Georgia's offense, because that would lead people to think that they are just awful, and they're not. They're just not what they have been.
Not clean.
They're not clean, yeah. Right? So, in your opinion, and because Ole Miss, I brought it up earlier, they are good on defense.
Front seven is nasty.
It is nasty. And right, I apologize to Ole Miss people because I was not giving them their due credit earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. They are nasty up front. And I think it's easy to say Georgia needs to run the ball more efficiently or protect the passer more efficiently or whatever else it may be.
Sounds good on paper.
Right. That's going to be a tough task this weekend. What do you think Georgia needs to do offensively this weekend to get it done against Ole Miss?
It's crazy for this game. I think both teams kind of match up against weaknesses. I don't think Ole Miss's secondary is great. Their front seven is really good.
Mm-hmm.
What has Georgia had problems with? Their DBs making plays on the ball. Well, they're going to get tested this week.
Yeah.
And I hear a lot of, hey, well, they went and got Quinn Ewers. That's how they're going to play. Well, he doesn't move. Jackson Dart moves.
Yes, he does.
If you miss him, he's going to move the chains on you. And they didn't have to really fear that, except a little bit when Arch came in a little bit, and he was a little young for that bite of the apple so far. Jackson Dart can really give you some issues. I do like the matchup of Georgia's front seven against Ole Miss. I think last year their offensive line,
they've got a soft spot on O-line for sure.
They've got interior.
Yeah, they've got issues.
They got some issues there, and Georgia got after them really good last year. But if Carson Beck plays clean, if he plays clean, this could be a shootout. Mm. This could be more than what people think, because I think Ole Miss is going to bomb away on Georgia. And I think Georgia's going to take some chunk shots at that secondary, because I don't know that Georgia's going to drive dink and dunk and 2 and 3 yard Ole Miss.
I agree.
They're going to have to take some shot plays.
So, Rusty, based on what we saw in Jacksonville last weekend, you know that Florida has to go to Texas this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's a noon start, so it's a sleepy start really for both teams. I'm not a big fan of the noon start.
Yep.
Texas shouldn't be worried at all, because the defense that Florida has played the last 4 or 5 weeks kind of sets up to slow down this Texas offense.
Yeah, you're going to find a little bit out about Texas. And for Florida, I mean, I don't know of a team so banged up. Just unbelievable. And listen, I know he practiced. I would be very surprised if Lagway played. You know what I mean? Like, at what point they had to cart him off, and obviously it didn't look good. And Maybe he comes back. I would be surprised if he plays. And you go into this game, and the best thing for you is this what you call a sleepy start time. You know what I mean? It's not that 7:30 when half of Hollywood stand on the sideline vibe. You know what I mean?
It's just weird that they're all in Austin, Texas these days. Yeah,
they were there, man. And so right, it looked like that. A movie opening over there. Yeah. And so that's what Kirby said. Nobody's here to take pictures, but you know, it's a little different vibe when they get that sideline going. So I don't know what to expect out of Florida. The defensively, effortly, their effort is tough. I mean, they're playing hard for Billy, and for if I'm making that decision, that says a lot to me and what they've dealt with. They've played their ass off for that dude, and that tells me what that locker room vibe probably is, because they could cave in. And here's – I know we're getting kind of late here, but I'll say this for Ole Miss. Paul Feinbaum said this is the biggest game in Lane Kiffin's career. Very well could be. And I'll say this. He went all in with the boosters. He went all in and said, let's go get these guys. Georgia beat us 52-17. This is what we need to compete, and I need this amount, and we need these players. Well, they went and got them. They lost a bad game to Kentucky.
Mm. Yeah.
I can't believe that.
LSU on the road, you can understand that.
But they're better than we think now, LSU.
Yes, they are. And then, but playing at night there, Mike can tell you, that's another subject. Level. That's another subject. But this is a big game for Lane Kiffin, because when you got that many transfers, this eliminates – if they lose this game, they're out of the playoffs. What's going to happen to that team the rest of the year? Because all those guys are going to be like, man, I came here to play in the playoffs.
Mm.
I didn't come here to beat Mississippi State on Thanksgiving night. Like, what are these guys going to do? What's this team going to do? There's a lot going on. This game is starting – I think the Georgia fan base is starting to realize this. There is a lot of storylines in this one.
I want to open it up broadly in talking about the playoff rankings.
Yep.
And so you had a team like Boise State sitting in the 12th seed. But we were discussing the other day, too, just about teams that are undefeated, like an Army.
Yep.
What do you see for those teams like that, their chances? Because you look at the strength of competition, all that factors into it, too, that – you know, a team like Army, if they stay undefeated,
they deserve to be in.
Yeah.
And nobody in America wants them to be in. Everybody's rooting for Army, but no team wants to play them. No fan base wants to play them.
Depends on if your fan base is in the playoffs or not.
Yeah. Everybody, if you're not in the playoffs, you're like, I hope Miami plays them. I hope Miami gets chop blocked for four quarters. You know? So I love that storyline. I love the Boise State's involved. I love that we're talking about those guys, because if we're last year and previous time, we're not talking about any. It's a cute story. Like, Army's undefeated. That's nice. Who's going to get them in that New Year's Eve 6 game?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Who don't want to play Army in the Cotton Bowl? You know what I mean? Yeah. Now, you could play them in an elimination game. So that's where the storyline is. And, you know, I've been doing this long enough. You guys have been in sports. There's so much left. But the storyline of Boise being in the conversation and Army being in the conversation is exactly why they're at 12 right now.
And a lot of us, hardcore, we're praying for Boise or maybe even Army to beat Notre Dame, because we would love to see one of those Cinderella teams just upset somebody.
Yeah.
Just
kind of like March Madness.
Yeah.
I don't think that any of those teams have the depth to get into the semis and the finals, but they dang sure could scare somebody in a first round game.
Yeah,
you know messing stuff mean? Up. Yeah,
that Army really scare
That's
somebody.
All you want.
Army
That's
ain't
you
getting
want.
An off week either, because they'd go right through. They'd play conference title. Dude. They'd go play Navy, and they'd go right into
they're
it.
They're at so. West Point. They don't need off days.
You don't have to do weekend duty.
Real quick before we let you go, we got to bring up LSU and Alabama this weekend. This is the night game that Lane Kiffin was so upset about.
Yep.
I said it earlier. I think this is the biggest game of Jalen Milroe's career. I think, because you're going to get Mercer, then Oklahoma, then Auburn. But if you can win this game, you have a path to the playoff, and I think that Jalen Milroe will be remembered differently if he ends up in the playoff 2 years in a row.
SEC champ, two wins over Georgia, a win at LSU at night.
I think if you fail, I think a lot more questions are being asked about his marriage with Kalen DeBoer, what his future looks like, everything else. Can Alabama stop LSU's passing game, I guess, is my biggest question, and what do you think you'll see out of Jalen Milroe this weekend?
Man, it's hot and cold. You know what I mean? He's not turning the ball over. It's decision-making with him. Everybody knows. I wonder how they're using him. Can they make him fit into their scheme? Because I saw it for a half, and I saw what they did to Georgia. And I will say this, though. Everybody that's played them since that half, they've backed off.
For
Georgia
sure.
went full, like, we're going to attack him like Michigan did. Well, he had you down by four touchdowns. So everybody else was like, I'm not doing that. So then you start putting it in, like he's got to be a little more accurate in the intermediate routes, decision things, because nobody throws a better deep ball than Jalen Milroe. I mean, that thing drops in the basket on you. And so at night, can he do it there? And here's the thing, too. Nussmeier, he's not going to hurt you with his legs. And what I've seen typically out of Georgia and what I've seen in Alabama in history, if they know where a guy's going to be, they're going to go get him. And that's where I'm concerned for LSU. But I think that game, not to cop out, it's going to be who's the best quarterback in that game.
I agree.
Who plays best?
I agree.
I think in the Ole Miss game, it's going to be who plays cleaner. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know that Georgia's going to put it all on Carson Beck.
Nor should they.
Ole Miss is going to put it all on Jackson Dart. Like, yeah, you got
that's their guy.
Because their
that's
two their running backs are tiny. They got some problems up front. And he is going to have to get rid of the football because Georgia's going to come after him.
That's a good point.
Russ, you say it again.
What?
What you said earlier.
What is it?
Your hat.
That I was right. You're,
oh, get out of here.
You see, he turned his hat around.
Say it again.
Man.
You know what?
I gave him all that credit. Now you're like Spanky. Yeah. I mean, man.
And you get to leave. We're stuck here for another. I'm sorry, man.
I come in here stirring it up.
For another like 40 minutes. Thanks a lot.
Hey.
Appreciate it.
Have your people get in touch with my people.
Game recognized game, right, Rusty?
Oh, that was our Rusty Manziel covering all things college football. You can follow him on X at Rusty Manziel. When we come back here, will Troy Anderson's return open things up for the Falcons' pass rush? We'll discuss next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Falcons' pass rush seems to have opened things up when it comes to the sacks department against the Cowboys. They had three against the Cowboys. They were coming into that game with only a total of six on the season. But now there's been good news on the injury front with Troy Anderson set to make his return. He told reporters that he will play in this game against the Saints on Sunday after he missed nearly the past month with a knee injury. So could that open things up for this team and the rest of the defense when it comes to trying to put pressure on the quarterback?
Well, I think it does, because I think you can now use Caden Ellis as a situational pass rusher because you have Troy Anderson and Nate Landman both on the field. And we've seen in the last season and a half now that Nate Landman is a very, I don't want to say great, but he's a good linebacker in this league.
I think
for what we want and what we do, he fits. And I think he has his moments like anybody else, but he's good, and I think Troy Anderson, if he can stay healthy and continue to progress, I think he could be better than what Landman is and different in the same light. And that means he can do some of the stuff that you use Ellis to do, and then you can use Ellis in these situational pass rush situations because you're not as worried about, you know, overloading him or taking him away from another spot.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. And when you dive deeper into it, I think that they would be right to develop a package where you have all three of those linebackers on the field, take out a defensive lineman, basically run three defensive linemen, three linebackers, and put Caden in, you know, walked up and running the twist games. The only problem I have in trying to diagnose this and kind of figure out if that's something they would want to do is you have to find yourselves, if you're going to do that, you have to find yourselves in obvious passing downs. And more times than not this year, you've had trouble doing that. So that there's a lot to be said. I'm with you. I think Troy Anderson is a perfect middle ground between what Caden Ellis is and what Nate Landman is. I think he's probably more of a thumper like a Landman, but he's also rangy like a Caden Ellis. So there's a lot of possibilities once we start talking about all three of those guys being healthy. And I think that when you look at obviously having to get home, Tiff, that you know, you need to open up some of those possibilities.
So what would the game plan be now that you've got the addition of Troy Anderson back? Well, Coach Raheem Morris joined Dukes and Bell, and he talked about the team's plan to get some more sacks.
I see it in practice. Practice preparation eventually equals game reality. And that was closer to what I've been seeing every day in practice, as opposed to what we've been giving to you sometimes on the weekends, right? You got to go out there and execute. The guys got to go out there and play. But you can definitely look forward to seeing more Troy. You can definitely look forward to seeing more Caden. You can definitely look forward to seeing more of those guys come in, Nate Landman, or whatever the case may be, along with the outside backers and the inside people that rush for us. Or just giving more production off how they play and the way they're going to go about their business. It just, I feel really good about the guys that we have, and I have for a while, and I was happy to see some of the results come out so everybody else can see it as well.
Well, the one thing we haven't seen all year is Nate Landman, Troy Anderson, and Caden Ellis healthy at the same time.
Yeah.
Because Landman was, I'll take that back. We saw it.
For like one game.
The first game against the Steelers, technically they were all three active. But even then, Nate Landman wasn't. Remember, he was questionable to coming into that game. Then he goes out for what, 4 or 5 games. Anderson leaves. You get Landman back, luckily. But you've never had all of those guys on the field at the same time, in a moment. Well, yeah, and kind of in a situation where you knew what you were going to get from them or use them, in maybe a way that you had planned on doing it. Troy Anderson had his best game of his career. He left early, but it was the best game of his career against New Orleans on the 29th of September. He had 16 tackles. You know, he hit a TFL, he had an interception, a touchdown, a pass breakup, or pass defended, however terminology you want to use. So you'd like to think that maybe that's what you're getting and bringing him back, but there's also going to be a little bit of a conditioning curve, a guy that hasn't played in 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't want us to miss the main part of this, of them possibly all getting healthy at the same time. The main part is not so much the pass rush to me as it is stopping Alvin Kamara and Taysom Hill in the run game. Alvin Kamara he's their guy. He's their leading receiver, I believe, right now over the last couple weeks. Saw a stat earlier. He's had 5 or more catches in 6 straight games. So without Olave and without Rashid Shaheed and Bub Means is also on the IR, like they are extremely thin at wide receiver right now. So you'll see tight ends probably playing a bigger part of this game, right? And you'll see Alvin Kamara and Taysom Hill playing a bigger part of this game. And when you look at it from that angle, having a guy such as Troy Anderson that can match up in coverage with those guys is huge, right? So and I think it's important that we talk about getting home on the passer because hopefully you can get them in obvious passing downs. But when you talk about Nate Landman, Troy Anderson, Caden Ellis all being healthy at the same time, it comes down to guys like Foster Moreau and Taysom Hill and other guys that can make plays that are bigger bodies than you need to match up with.
When you look at Alvin Kamara, we have him too. He's Bijan Robinson. And that's kind of what, Tiffany, that's kind of what he is for them. And you have to think about that as a fan. You have to look at him and say, well, they're going to use him just like we use Bijan.
He's had no problem shouldering the load. Mike, you brought up his receiving yards. He had 60 of them in the last game and also had 155 yards rushing. So yeah. He is a problem, but Coach Raheem Morris said they have to be prepared to face him.
He is a problem. You got to go out there and mitigate Alvin Kamara as much as possible. He's one of the best players in the National Football League. You know, the three guys that come to mind right now, Saquon, Alvin, and our guy. You know, and obviously Christian McCaffrey's been on the shelf, but, you know, those kind of guys that are dual threats the way they are. They certainly present him challenges all across the board. But first and foremost, you got to stop him as a runner, and then you got to prepare for him as a passer and a pass catcher. Not necessarily a passer, but a pass catcher. You got to prepare for all those things. And he is a dangerous guy, has been for a long time, and he certainly can hurt you if you allow him. So he's definitely one of those guys that you would consider a game wrecker, and we got to prepare for him the right way.
Yeah,
Before you get Bo, I just want to say I'm pretty sure that he's leading the NFL in touches right now. It's almost 200. I think it's 196 touches he's got leading the NFL. Yeah. And I don't know how much longer he can shoulder that load, but they need him to inside of that offense because they're so decimated.
He's hurt the Falcons in his career against them. You know, the craziest stat for me, and I want to double check it, but I'm pretty sure that Alvin Kamara does not have a receiving touchdown against the Atlanta Falcons that I have seen, which is the craziest stat. In fact, he only had
one. Because Taysom Hill's getting all of them.
Well, he only had one touchdown against us last time they played.
Dylan just went and knocked on the door.
I know, knocked on door. I normally have to tell him. You got to say knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
The crazy thing is Taysom Hill went out before the first half was over, and he had two touchdowns in that game. Yeah. Like the trajectory,
and I don't think he got touched before he got into pay dirt on those plays.
We forget they came in here last time 2-1, and still feeling themselves because their one loss was in a tight, close, late game to Philadelphia at home. They come in here 2-1. We're 1-2. Both teams we've went up. They've went down, but they were a hot team, and we knocked them around. We hit them. We came back. We battled in that game. So don't think that they don't not have a game plan with getting Taysom Hill back. I know they won't have Olave, and they won't have Shaheed. Might not have Olave. We know they won't have Shaheed. So, but they also are much healthier on defense, minus the fact that Adebo is out for the season, and they just traded Lattimore. So this is not going to be easy. And it's one of the toughest
back too. Yeah.
Yeah. So is Willie Gay. DeMario Davis, one of the toughest places to play in the
game. And they're going into it with some juice, knowing that they're going to be trying to play for Darren Rizzi, who is their interim head coach after Dennis Allen was fired. They gave him shirts. I don't know if you guys saw this, but it's something about Mary Rizmus. Is a play on.
Geez.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Are you serious?
So I'm serious.
All right, Googling.
It's a play on what the kids say nowadays, you know, Riz, charisma, short for, you know, all that stuff. But I don't do that because I'm 40 and an adult.
I don't know how you even knew that. So good for you.
I know
you.
Things. You know, I'm in touch with, you know, pop culture. Like Bo has a pulse of, I don't know, angry people on Twitter. What you got for Life of Squid that we're waiting?
Well, a championship was decided last night, Tiffany.
Oh Lord!
We'll break that down, and some people should know what they're tweeting when they use hashtags. Pope Francis is no different. Talk about it next morning shift.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com for a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. We'll be right back. Back here on the morning shift, and
did you have to do an ad read or something?
What?
Oh, I thought maybe you had to do an ad read. I was going to ask you if you've been hopping on that Peloton in the afternoons.
I have. I've been spacing it out. So I did heavy lifting Monday, Peloton on Tuesday, took the day off yesterday, and then today we'll go back to heavy lift and then probably Peloton.
My wife was doing a Cody ride last night, and I wonder if Tiff has jumped on there with Cody anytime recently. Dude's funny, man.
He is hilarious. So I did Allie.
Okay.
I forget her handle is Allie, All My Love, or something like that.
Right.
She's got the curly hair like me. Anyway, so she's very, she is. Her hair is like blondish colored highlighted.
So it was just like, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I know Allie, curly hair like you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm just trying to describe her. Like,
no,
so,
right.
I
forgot her last name. So, but,
just made me laugh, that's all.
But yeah, so she's more, it is intense, like without all the laughing with Cody. So you still get an intense workout with him, but with her, I was like, dang, I'm getting.
Yeah.
That was like a 45 minute ride, like intervals and
kick your butt, man.
So I'm hurt. I don't know if you guys, it's taking me a while. I sit down during breaks, but stand during the show. And every time I sit down, I'm in pain.
Like, somebody help me get up.
But anyway. Thriving, nonetheless. So, thriving.
That a girl.
You know, I'm trying. The Hawks, right? Big win, comeback win over the Knicks yesterday. Game in which we saw them win 121-116. And the rookie Zachary Richechet had 33 points, so he's now the youngest player with a 30-point game in Hawks history.
Yeah.
But you have your big three as.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to call him a big three.
Bo's
yet.
Calling them that.
Yeah,
well,
that's
what they're supposed to be. Okay, that's what they're
that's
supposed
what they
to be.
Eventually will be for sure.
And that's what they performed like last night. Almost 79 points. You got 32 rebounds from this group. The 20 assists. Obviously, most of those were, or at least half of those were from Trey. But you're getting 35 plus minutes from all three. Give Trey some credit, guy. Left the game injured at a terrible night. On Monday night.
23 points he finished with. Well, yeah. Last night.
Yeah, last night. That's what I'm saying. Last night, Tiff, to your point, you look at his – it was a rebound game. He left the game injured. And then he still has the energy, which I love to hear, to be petty with a team that deserves it from him.
Yeah, I heard this story. I think it's Brad Rowland that had this stat, so shout out to him. But something like – I can't remember the exact number. 173 maybe straight games where Trey has had five or more assists, which I think is the best record maybe in NBA history. That's over two seasons worth, right? And he even missed some time last year. And you think about that, that's a crazy stat, man. Crazy stat.
He's an elite passer. I feel like his –
facilitator.
I feel like it was – when he came into the league, it was – I don't know why, but it just – maybe it was because it was new, but it felt like it was more – it was better, or maybe it was more – maybe it's just because the team was a little bit better in the first couple of years. I don't know what it was, but I felt like you got more out of him in the passing game than you have in the recent years. And this year I feel differently again. And again, maybe it's guys around him. Maybe it's he's getting it to guys that can actually make the shots. I don't know.
Floor spacing, right? I think when you have guys that can space the floor, and I think Jalen does that for him in a way that you don't think that John Collins did before that. And I think that's the reason maybe it's coming back for this team. So hopefully that leads to more wins. But again, a huge night last night, 8-point underdogs, and you climb back to 4-5.
Yeah, it's good to see. You know, like most people, that's what most people say when they
you messed it up.
When I walk in the room. You know what? Don't jump on me. That's right. Little W sauce, little breakfast sauce, Bloody Mary mix, Fireshire. Am I missing anything? New Realm Brewing, Owl Inn Lager. Had some the other night when I went to the game. Don't forget Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic, November 25th. Go to the 99 Game website, click on the events page, and you can find all the information you need to sign up and participate any way you can. It's for Pets for Vets. It is, what are we, 18 days away?
Yeah, we're getting close, man. We're getting close. I need to get my driver line back up. Didn't hit the ball well off the tee the other day, but we'll get that situated.
Yeah, you didn't. No, I didn't either, really, though. I was trying to crush it for some reason. Wasn't working out. It didn't make sense when I got, other people can hit it further than me. Let them use it on the scramble. But, look, anyways, want to give a shout-out to my mom. It's her birthday today.
Happy birthday. Way to bury the lead.
Yeah, seriously, dude. We got all the way to the end of the show before we knew that.
I didn't think I was burying the lead, but
all the women in your life probably don't like you right now.
Mm. Well, no. I mean, what better way than to
end the show? That's
celebrate my mom than the segment that's dedicated to me, give her love in. Right?
Man, you could have shouted out doing earlier, but happy birthday, Mrs. Morgan.
I wanted to make sure she was, I knew she was probably up. She's always listening. So, got to give her some love there. Last night, also, we crowned an iRacing champion, Tiff, in our league.
Mm. Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, my gosh.
It wasn't me. Please. It wasn't me, and it wasn't Mike. it was the Mr. Consistency, who also practices twice as much as everyone else, Doug. So, shout out to Doug for...
Is that a shot?
No, it's not.
It sounded like it for sure.
It's not a shot, but it's funny because he'll tell on himself that he's iRacing on like a Saturday night when we're watching college football or we're out. And then on the race day in the afternoon, Mike or I'll be like, yeah, I got a little practice in. Wait, what setup are we running or something? And he'll be like, oh, I'm in a disadvantage. I'm out here working.
Yeah,
and,
it's work
like,
today,
and it's like,
guys.
Dude, save me the BS.
Yeah.
We know his kid's in college now, so he doesn't have to worry about that. He's practicing more.
The dink life, the double income, no kids. He's living the dink life.
That's trying to
double
imply income, he's no kids. Not so, doing anything with his.
No. He look. I tell you what he's doing. He's getting all the nice bourbon he can.
Yeah, he is.
So open up that nice bottle of Weller's you got this weekend, Doug, and have a glass on us. Congratulations. So, I'm on Twitter this morning, as you guys know. It's a commercial break. I think it was a commercial break, and I'm sitting here, and I see the Saints in a tweet, and I go, oh, who's hurt? Who's put on IR? Did they fire someone else? Because they're a dumpster fire. No. I'm really worried now. Pope Francis tweets earlier this morning, we cannot become saints. Hashtag saints. Fleur de Lis.
Hashtag saints. Yeah, I was going to say, that ain't good.
Image comes up with a frown. We must have joyful hearts that remain open to hope.
Oh, man.
You people coming at me.
So the reason I saw, because with all due respect to Pope Francis.
The algorithm brought Pope Francis to you.
I might be a religious man, but I am not a Catholic man.
But I know what love is.
The reason I saw that is the New Orleans Saints.
What's that, Forrest Gump?
Yes. They quote retweeted it with, amen, hashtag saints.
Oh, man, come on.
What? And Ian, and I don't follow the Saints either. Ian Rappaport retweeted it. So the issue that I have is Pope Francis put hashtag saints, but he does, or whoever tweets for Pope Francis.
Right, yeah.
But they failed to realize that when you put hashtag saints, Tiffany.
What comes up with it?
It was going to be
the Fleur de Lis comes up, which is the what? The logo of the most hated football franchise.
What?
In the city of Atlanta.
In America.
Oh, in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say America, but yeah.
But America probably too, because I mean,
yeah.
Let's get real.
Yeah.
So I give this word of advice to Pope Francis's social media team and whoever else out there is tweeting. Be careful. Understand the hashtags you use, because sometimes they mean other things and you might get caught in a trap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like this game could be for the Falcons on Sunday.
How many followers is a guy like Pope Francis rocking with right now?
Let me tell you.
Like, are we in the millions?
18.4 million.
Whoa.
So pretty much.
I was not expecting that.
The only three people that don't follow him could be in this room.
Yeah.
I'm assuming seems Tiffany, like me, and you. Cause,
yeah, I don't follow him.
But
good for him, though.
So, yeah.
If Bo's giving you a cautionary tale about the dangers of social media.
Take it from me,
you should
Pope
probably
Francis.
Listen to it. Yeah. When we come back here, we'll find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.